Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're going to be talking about summer in Wisconsin and fun things to do. And before we get Mike Bino on, I want to mention a fun thing that we're going to be doing in June. And in fact, next week, if you love WPR and the Green Bay Packers, I hope you'll attend our special event when I'm hosting at Lambeau Field on June 22nd in Green Bay. We'll spend the evening exploring Packers history. Team president and a big WPR fan, Mark Murphy, and historian Cliff Crystal will be there. We'll talk about the history of the Packers. We've got a tailgate reception that will follow that. It's a family-friendly centennial event in Green Bay this month. And you can get tickets on our centennial website. Just go to WPR.org/100. So that's WPR.org/100. WPR and the Packers. Hey, doesn't get much more Wisconsin than that, does it, Mike Bino?
Not at all, and I once worked in the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame, so I can attest it's a wonderful time up there.
Oh, well, we're going to have a great deal of fun. I know it, and I had a lot of fun looking through our Wisconsin magazine, and we do this every time, but give a little thumbnail sketch for those who aren't familiar with our Wisconsin magazine.
Thanks a lot, Larry. We launched our Wisconsin in 2013, and the idea behind it was to invite the readers themselves to be a big community in this magazine and share what it is about their corner of Wisconsin that makes it really the best place to live. Get up, stand up, be loud and proud, and crow a little bit about your state. You know, I think the folks down south are pretty proud of where they live. I think we can be too. And we launched the magazine with that idea, and we haven't looked back. I've said here a couple of times, it's the reason I don't go fishing anymore, even though I'm in Vilas County. People are happy to chip in stories and photos from all around the state that prove that point. And to me, that's the most fun part about the job of being the editor here. We could sit here and dream up stories all day and all night, but it would never come close to what you get from out of the hinterlands here. You don't know what's going to come in the mail, and it's every day it's a little bit like Christmas, and we do our best to pull the best things out of the box, shine them up, and get them between covers for everyone to enjoy.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. Maybe they've got a story to share or a question about our Wisconsin, or maybe there's a really cool event or thing that's happened in their community they want to talk about. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org, or you can post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. You mentioned fishing, and Mike, and yeah, it's a favorite pastime, I think, for a lot of Wisconsinites and visitors as well. I think that story you have in this edition of Our Wisconsin about Terry Green is really an inspiring one.
Yeah, millions of people go fishing in Wisconsin every year. It is a big pastime, but I don't know if there's anyone quite like Terry Green from Partyville. Terry, we'll cut straight to it. Terry's blind and has only one hand, okay? And that happened in a childhood accident. And he decided rather than give up, he was going to go after life. And he learned that at the Lions Camp in Rosholt, by the way, where they help blind children. And he credits that with turning his life around. He became a full-time machinist and owns his own company. So picture a machinist who's blind. He fabricates and invents things for his fishing boat while he's not working on his regular professional stuff. But we have a wonderful story about him. He fishes off of Port Washington and on the Big Lake with his trolling boat, going after the trout and salmon. And that's a pretty common way to fish here in Wisconsin. But anybody who's been on one of these boats can understand what a task it is to array nine lines behind your boat at all various depths, to the outsides the boat, straight down the boat, and keep them all straight and catch fish. And this man excels at it, and all he needs is just a little bit of a hand from somebody to steer the boat while he's doing the fishing. And Doug Stamm really did a great job pulling this together for us. And I never would have, this is one of those stories, Larry, I never would have guessed in a million years. Terry Green and the Green Machine, blind with one hand, pulling in fish and taking people and showing sighted people how to do this.
It was an amazing story for me. I just think about my own fishing, musky fishing in a boat. And he sounds a lot more coordinated than I am.
Made me feel a little inadequate, too.
Yeah, it's really something. You know, we talk about birds and butterflies a lot on this show, and so it was really interesting to me as well to read about the retired teachers who are helping to tag hummingbirds and butterflies.
Yeah, pollinators. And Greg Peck in Janesville introduced us to Larry and Emily Schuneman out near Whitewater, and they've got a place where they welcome folks to come on out and see hummingbirds being banded. Now, I've heard often through the years of, you know, sizable birds like waterfowl being banded, and when biologists recover those bands, it tells a lot about the population dynamics of the birds, the behavior, where they're migrating, how long they're living, those kinds of things. Well, they affix bands to the tiniest of birds, hummingbirds, and allow people to, school children, to let them loose. And they say it sort of feels like catching the wind when they're holding these little critters in their hands. Also, they attach wing tags to monarch butterflies because those pollinators, unlike hummingbirds, those pollinators are really hitting some rough times in their populations, what with deforestation and their wintering grounds in Mexico. Also, storms can hit them on their long, long migration down to the Yucatan. So these folks invite people out there and allow them to see the tagging, see how they age and sex butterflies, hummingbirds, and turn them loose, and try to not only attract and catch these flying jewels, but turn them loose so that we can learn more about them. It's very hands-on, and we've received some letters back from the Schuneman saying they're getting a lot of good response from the story, people calling and inquiring and wondering how they can help.
Yeah, it's really cool. We have a photo from your magazine of a monarch being tagged, and it's really a cool photo. So if you don't have a copy of the magazine, you might go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show and get a good, nice close-up look at that whole tagging process and where the tag is affixed and that sort of thing. It's really, really, really pretty cool. We've had some pretty stormy weather the last few days in Wisconsin. I'll bet Dan up in Crivitz has been busy.
Yes, Dan up in Crivitz has been busy. We've been busy here too. I drove through Minocqua on Sunday. They got 4 inches of rain. That storm just sat there.
Oh boy.
There's a couple wet basements, but not a lot of damage. Just a lot of straight down rain. It's a little bit unusual, but yeah. Dan in Crivitz, Dan Smyska, he's a photographer, and he grew up fascinated by storms. Now, we got a lot of wonderful photos from him because he's a storm chaser, and I don't know that I'd have the guts to do it. When you're chasing something, you're getting caught up in a path of something that's 165 miles an hour throwing things at you. But Dan has chased storms down to Oklahoma, Texas. He's and he does a lot of it when he can around Wisconsin. Talked about being in Oconee County near Mountain, running into a tornado. But as a as a baby. We've got photos of him that didn't quite make it into the magazine because his storm photos are so stunning. There's a photo of his father holding this little baby looking out the patio door window going, ooh,
storm. It's a wonderful story, and there's a great photo of that he took of a tornado that's in the book as well. I tell you what, we need to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back to talk more about fun things going on in Wisconsin. You stay with us. Taking a look at the people and places that make Wisconsin great and hearing some wonderful stories as well. Larry Mueller here, my guest Mike Bino. Editor of Our Wisconsin, a magazine that's filled with stories, photos, recipes, and they're all about Wisconsin. You may have a favorite story, or maybe there's an event or something to do that you really enjoy doing in summertime in Wisconsin. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And you know what? Let's take a call. John in Richland Center, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'd like to tell you about the Eagle's Nest, which is a good thing to do for the summer. Mm-hmm. It's off of Highway 14, halfway between Madison and La Crosse, Highway E for Early, 3 miles north, and you can see a 2x4 eagle's nest, which is 2 feet by 4 feet, 20 feet above a Class A trout stream.
Oh, boy.
The Mill Creek is the headwaters of the Wisconsin River, and she's there nesting her siblings, or children, right now.
Oh,
wonderful. Eaglets.
Yeah, that's a great story. And, you know, the sort of the success of eagles here in this state is marvelous. And there are nests now. We have one right in the Madison area, as an example. But we're seeing more of them all over the state, Mike.
And they use them for many, many years. There was one, my neighbors in Boulder Junction, there was one up for decades that was used over and over, of course, in a tall white pine. That thing broke in half eventually and came down, and they estimated that nest to be more than 2,000 pounds. I mean, these things are massive. Also, there were a lot of fish parts and rabbit parts and things in among the sticks, too, but because they're quite efficient at gathering food. A brief nesting story here. On the cover of the magazine, you see which birds here, Larry?
Yeah. Loons.
Loons, okay. Loons, a very small lake that I live on, 60 acres. In 20 years, we only saw chicks one time. And mid-sized mammalian predators get around a little body of water like that, and they wipe out nests. You get foxes and coons and such. They're hungry for eggs. Made a nesting platform, put it out there, floating island, to keep the loons offshore, the nesting loons offshore. And they didn't take to it for many years. Mallards liked it, but for some reason I thought I did it wrong. Kind of gave up, and my neighbor, thank goodness, said, let me try, Mike. I'll move it. Moved it out to the middle. We now have two loons taking turns incubating the eggs out there. And we think it's a re-nesting effort because this is a little bit late. We think they may have lost a nest, but they're out there using it and incubating, and here we go, hoping we get some chicks riding on the loons' backs.
Yeah, and you've got, that's your cover photo of a loon, I suppose. Is it mom that always has the loons on her back? Or
the jury's out on that, because you can't tell the sex of the loon by looking at them. There's no way to do it, and it's thought that yeah, the females do it, but the males and females switch off feeding. They switch off incubating, and it could be a male or female carrying those little ones. I'll defer to the DNR experts, but I believe that's true.
It's such a crystal clear photo, and it had to have been taken from a ways away.
That was shot by Keith Crowley of Hudson on a kayak.
Ah,
and he said he got obviously you had to have some pretty good glass to get you know, a long lens to get that close. But still, he got pretty close in his kayak.
Yeah, it's a beautiful close up. Well, you can join in too. Maybe you've got an event you want to talk about or an experience to share that tells us about Wisconsin in the summer. I hope you'll join in. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. So give a call, shoot us a note. People have, you know, really fond memories of summer vacations in Wisconsin. And the Chain of Lakes had a pretty lasting effect on one of your authors.
Yeah, the Wapaka Chain of Lakes. I mean, what a historic place. What generations of vacationers have memories of this chain of 14 lakes there, mostly because it's so close to population centers compared with some of the places I've been talking about, just west of Green Bay there. So people from Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison packed up and went there. We have a story from Larry McPhailen's, who now lives in Seattle, former Chicagoan, and he's just remembering with great joy packing up in the family station wagon and heading up to Wapaka. Now, everybody has memories of the Indian Crossing Casino, which is at the confluence of two of the biggest lakes there. It's not a casino at all. It's a 1920s dance hall that has the you know, the vintage wooden dance floor, fine acoustics. The biggest big bands came through there. You know, Duke Ellington, you know, you name it. Also, some of the biggest names in early rock and roll. The fun part about this is Indian Crossing Casino has been reopened, and Brian Wagner's the owner. He's got bands booked through the summer. Poured a lot of money into the place, I guess, and is preserving this history, and they were open to a sold-out crowd hearing the Bodines there on Memorial Day weekend. There is a famous overhanging dock where people sat out there and had fish fries forever and watched the boats pass back and forth as they were going lake to lake. But just some of the images there of Ding's Dock and Prell's Marina and the rental boats, and they had large excursion boats taking people through there, and tubing and rafting down the Crystal River, which is the outlet to those 14 lakes. Some lakes take rowboats, kayaks. There are some big enough for the people that like the power boating, but many, many memories of Wapaka, and we're getting a lot of letters on that.
Well, we have, we're speaking of water, Tom in Wausau has a story I think that connects with water as well. Tom, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. I was real reluctant to even call after the story about the one-armed guy who was blind.
Yeah.
Fishing off of Lake Michigan, but just about 4 or 5 days ago, I had I was out fishing for panfish, but a little beetle spin. I was using 6-pound test in an ultralight rod, and tied into a musk.
Oh,
whoa!
And of course, as is usual, you know, you don't know at first what you got. You get a bump, but then the muskie doesn't know what they got either, so they're not really doing much. But the muskie literally towed the boat partway around the bay. I was fortunate enough to have the drag set just loose enough that he could take a little, and yet it took a lot of work for him to do so. And then I also was able to keep him from skying too many times. And so he wasn't able to kill the line. And I actually got him in. He's about 41 inches and around 25 pounds.
Oh.
But it's not my usual way of fishing for muskies.
Well, there's a good story for you.
6-pound test?
Yes.
And he didn't cut it off?
No, so he had the beetle spin right in the corner of his mouth. And for whatever reason, I'd like to claim skill, but I think I had a huge amount of luck in terms of the angles I was able to keep on the fish, and so he never was able to cut it off.
I had a very similar experience, Tom, when I was fishing in Lake Mendota with I actually had a 4-pound test line with a Panther Martin, 8th-ounce Panther Martin, and I managed to pull in a 40-inch Northern.
Whoa.
And I was fishing for just panfish because it was legal to fish for them, but it was two days before the official opening of the fishing season for Northerns and walleye and everything else. And so I had to measure it quickly and put it back in the water.
I love fish stories, folks. Believe both these guys, huh?
And it was the same circumstance that Panther Martin was kind of right in the corner of its jaw, and he just couldn't get around to snap the line. It was... So we've got similar experiences, Tom.
The amazing part was, though, he was actually towing the boat.
Yeah, I'm sure. You were wondering what you had on at that point.
I knew what I had on, but I didn't know how big. I've never experienced that before.
Great story. Thanks, Tom.
Great deal. Thanks.
Yeah. Jason in La Crosse will turn to you next. Hi, Jason.
Well, good afternoon, Larry. I was calling to let you know about a fantastic festival in Lafarge, Wisconsin called Larry Fest.
Larry Fest? You're kidding.
No, Larry is my uncle. His name is Larry Sobranek. I thought, you know, you would be interested in this for some particular reason. I'm not sure why, but it is our local bluegrass festival, and we get... quite a few people and all the top names in bluegrass every year. It's really great. But we also have a songwriter stage, the small stage, which is a really great thing, too. And we have a songwriter contest every summer also.
Oh, that now, when is Larry Fest?
It is the third weekend in August, and it is in just outside of Lafarge, Wisconsin, just a few miles out. And they usually put all kinds of signs out on those county roads.
The third weekend in August. Well,
yeah.
There's one for you to have somebody write about, Mike Beano.
Larry's of the world unite. I don't think my byline could go on that. I think you should write that one for me, Larry.
I tell you what, third weekend in August, huh? I might have to go.
Yes, sir.
I might have to go and visit with my camera and shoot some. Maybe I can get a. Maybe I can win a pie. From our Wisconsin magazine.
And they should give you a free brat or something for being the main Larry.
I'm sure that they would.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Jason, for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. That sounds like a lot of fun. There, you usually almost always have articles in the magazine or stories about events that are coming up. Around the state.
Yeah, we do. And things like Larry Fest kind of come flying out of the woodwork at us. And yes, if you write that up, it gets in. You do win the Amish pecan pie from Yoder's Bakery in Cecil. Yeah, events, they're all over the place. The Monroe Balloon and Blues Fest, that's June 16th and 17th. Cheese Derby in Hilbert is June 15th. Food Folks and Spokes, Library Park in Kenosha, June 15th. St. Croix Rodeo, a little bit later, June 16th, 17th in Glenwood City. There's stuff all over. State Fair is coming, you know.
Yeah.
What a wonderful place to live anytime, not only summer.
Yeah, not only summer. You know, I wanted to mention in particular one article that I found a lot of fun, and it was written by Roy Ryman.
You know, yeah. Now, Roy Ryman is, I guess you'd call him the mentor here on the magazine. Roy, he's a longtime publisher of farm-oriented magazines from Greendale, from the 70s on, and he's still got his hand in magazine publishing here in Wisconsin with Our Wisconsin. He and I launched the magazine. He's now... involved in it to the degree he wants to be. He's got a lot going on in his life, but he chips in a story once in a while. And he chipped in a story in his little Did You Know section we have that, at first glance, really, really isn't focused hard on the state of Wisconsin. It's about the amazing things you can find in logos designed by talented graphic designers. And he gives a couple of for instances here. Now, what I'm getting to is, at first glance, well, there's not a lot about Wisconsin in this, but wait a minute. There's a lot of stuff people, the average person, doesn't know. And this sort of gee whiz thing, we've got this in the magazine, and we're getting more letters on this story than anything in the issue. And he proves once again he knows the audience. He knows them better than I ever will. But if you take a look at the FedEx logo, a lot of people don't notice, and this was me, that between the E and the X in FedEx, the words slapped together, there's an arrow. There's a white arrow that forms the break between the E and the X. And I've talked to some FedEx truck drivers and say, like that arrow on your truck, and they say, what arrow? Also, did you know that in the logo for Ace Hardware, there's a plunger coming out of the letter C?
And, you know, I never had noticed that. That's why that was such an interesting article for me. And now, of course, you can't look at the FedEx label or the Ace Hardware label without seeing those things.
We should put those up on your Facebook page so people can see. But, yeah, now as soon as somebody points it out to you, you see it every time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's and the X is as he points out. That's it. It looks like loading landing strips, and the E itself could be considered loading bays.
Yes, loading bays. Now the capital E. Okay, so there's two gaps. There's one that is narrower and one that's wider because they have a narrower one for smaller trucks, a wider one for bigger trucks. And then the D on Fed, F-E-D, the small letter D, it's not round. It's sort of got a little bit of an oval shape to it, and that's to give it some dimension so it looks like a wheel with a hubcap.
It's an amazing, you know, there were some really smart people that put that together.
A lot smarter than me.
Yeah, me as well. Well, that's a lot of fun. And, you know, talking about events, I'm sure some of our listeners will be attending Antique Steam and Gas Engine Show. That's in Rice Lake, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Hungry Hollow. The Hungry Hollow Steam and Gas Engine Show. This thing's so big that they have an 80-acre showgrounds devoted to this. It's got a permanent home. 2,500 spectators will come out, and the purpose of this is to show the vintage and, you know, antique equipment the way it used to be, the threshing machines, the tractors. There's real blacksmithing going on there, and it's a throwback to the old days. And people proudly bring out their gas and steam engines, small ones, large working ones that used to power threshers, as I said. It's, you know, food and entertainment and education, and there's a sawmill there. So it's this year's show is June 24th and 25th, and if you check out Hungry Hollow Club, hungryhollow.club.com, there's a lot more up there. It's in Barron County, up near Rice Lake in the northwest part of the state, and everybody should come out there and see this. 200-some machines.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's some great photos in there in the magazine as well about it. Before I forget, Our Wisconsin and WPR are teaming up to do some traveling this year. Maybe you can talk about that.
Well, that's right. And I was very tickled to hear that Wisconsin Public Radio has joined up with us on the first ever Our Wisconsin tour. Now, we're working with Country Travel Discoveries, my good friend Steve Ulner over there, who worked with myself and Roy Ryman at Ryman Publications. He's got the travel business going, and he said, Mike, what could we put together for, what would be a great tour to do around the state? And I, well, there's only one place for me. Having grown up in Green Bay and having worked in Milwaukee and having gone to school in Madison, I got around a lot of the state, but it wasn't until I was 47 when I decided to venture out beyond Madison and get into that farm country out there, because I was interested in learning about turkey hunting 20 years ago. And where have I landed? I'm in the middle of Switzerland. The Driftless region, in my mind, and I live in the piney north woods and love it, but I think the Driftless region is the prettiest area of our state, mostly because three-quarters of the state does not look like this. Ridges, coulees, villages nestled in, you know, with the trout streams running through them. It is just the prettiest area. So we put together six-day tours, and we started with three different dates. Well, two more departures have been added, and Wisconsin Public Radio has got a special one, October 8th through the 13th. And I've heard from my friends who live around Muscadet in that area, they tell me that's about peak color time to see the ridges ablaze. But it's 6 days, you get 12 memorable meals, and we're going to take you to see the town of Stevenson, which is a town of two, founded by Steve and Carol Stevenson near Richland Center. And they've got a barbershop, a firehouse, a police station. A lot of the stuff we have featured in this magazine, yeah, we're taking people to these private places. You can see border collies working at an English-style B&B with folks from Great Britain, again, right there from Richland Center. So it's a wonderful tour.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I know and actually WPR has so many events this year to celebrate our 100th anniversary, and for that, the event that Mike just talked about, I know if you go to WPR.org/100, you're going to find out about all the events, but that one too. And Mike, we're out of time. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, thanks for having me. It's always fun.
Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Always a lot of fun to visit with him. And take a look at some of those events, and actually go to our WPR.org/100. You'll find out about the Packers event and a whole lot more. Thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.